Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to this rare show on a Monday of reading. Didn't get a chance to come to you on the Shabbat, but really wanted to get to you and do something. I hope this broadcast is fine and you're doing well. And today we're just going to do a reading, a treatise out of the Old Testament pseudepigrapha of a particular book that's going to give you tremendous insight as to the working of angels, what happens after this particular life, and how to truly be blessed even right now, because there were and there are a group of people who have decided to live for the Most High strictly and walking away from sin. So I think there's going to be a lot of insight on this book. I'm going to try not to give too much commentary. It's really tough, but I'll try to make it as relative as possible to our current times as I read it and we go through this history. And it's a treatise on the history of the Rechabites, and they are spoken of in the book of Jeremiah. We're going to make references to it, but these are talking about the blessed ones that have been talked about in history, where many explorers tried to actually find these people. And this is going to, I hope, encourage you to see how the Most High moves, works, what he's capable of doing for people who decide to turn their back on this strange, hateful, Satan-driven world that we live in. And I'm praying for you. I pray that you are doing well. I am the preacher, and thanks for tuning in. Let's go ahead and get to it without further delay. History of the Rechabites, a new translation and introduction by J.H. Charlesworth, 1st to 4th centuries. The history of the Rechabites in its present form recounts the visit of a virtuous man named Zosimus in some passages to the island of the Blessed Ones. For 40 years, this man has entreated the Most High to show him the abode of the Blessed Ones. God answers his prayer, and with the guidance of an angel and supernatural assistance from an animal and two trees, he is able to journey over the great ocean and a dense cloud to an island that resembles paradise, chapters 1 through 3. Now, I once again, I want to state that this is from the pseudepigrapha, volume 2, apocalyptic literature, but really it's just books, holy scriptures that they've stolen from us, because we had scribes that documented everything that transpired in the lives of our people, the 12 tribes of Israel, in history, the kings, the wars, what was going on. It was the social media of that time. And these books are hidden so that you might be blind and ascribe only to the religions that Satan has created in this world, including Christianity. So I'm saying that so that you're listening with the right ears and you're looking with the right eyes when you hear what God did for this man who fasted 40 years and how he was supernaturally led. Because I'm a firm believer that we should not be running to and fro right now trying to save ourselves. That's wait till we're led by Yah and be true to him. I'll try to get through this. The man meets the blessed ones, who become so oppressively inquisitive about him that he asks his attendant to inform the visitors he is not here. This request causes a mild sensation, and an assembly asks the liar, a man of sin, Zosimus, they call him a man of sin, to go away. After pleas for forgiveness, the man receives mercy. He then asks the blessed ones concerning their history. And that's chapters 4 through 7. And we'll get into that. Let's see. The history of the Rechabites was once very popular and is now extant in many ancient languages, of which most important are the Ethiopic, that Ethiopian Bible, the Greek, the Syriac, the present translation. The first English rendering of the latter aims at being idiomatic without sacrificing the flavor of the Syriac. The base of the translation is manuscript, is a Syriac definition. So many other nations know about this book and this happening, that this has been hidden from us. Let's see what else is relevant before I get into the main reading. This is relevant, historical and theological importance. The historical and theological importance of this document is first related to the growing perception of early medieval Christian interest in the land of the blessed ones. Further reflections on a distant, not future, earthly paradise, a continued dependence on Hebrew apocryphal literature or traditions. Such importance is second related to the increasing clarity with which we can now perceive and understand the theology of the original Hebrews, not these Ashkenazis now, near the beginning of the present era. Of central importance is the rich imagery and interesting descriptions of the daily life of the blessed ones, especially their freedom from sickness, pain, misfortunes, temptations, discomforts, but not death, and their unique sexual customs. The eschatological concerns of Hebrew apocalyptic are reflected not only in the ideas previously mentioned, but also in the concern for the time of the end of the world, which is why this is so relevant, for we are in the end times. And most of these apocryphal and the apocalyptic books in the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha are for this generation right here, this final generation. The angelology is impressively developed, but not in ways similar to the multiplicity of names typical of 2nd Enoch and 3rd Enoch and the prayer of Jacob. The angels descend to the blessed ones. They visit them. They even dwell with them. They announce the time of death of a blessed one, tell them when they're going to pass. They bury his or her body and take the soul to heaven. The angels also transmit the prayers and praises before the throne, and we do understand that. The basis of Zosimus you can also find in Jeremiah chapter 35, it is practically impossible to discern the provenance of this document. According to the Armenian version, that Iovissimos lived in Shiza, an island on the Ionian Sea. This identification appears late, speculative, and unreliable in the Syriac manuscript. Zosimus lived in a monastery in Palestine. So we have, I'm about to get into it, they announced, I told you how the angels really dwelt with these people. You're going to find out they were people just like us. Now, relationship to other books, to give this some credence, the history of the Rechabites is obviously dependent upon the book of Jeremiah. The middle chapter is apparently the earliest section of this document, especially chapters 8 through 10, resemble a midrashic expansion of Jeremiah, the 35th chapter. It's spoken of, I just wanted to give you the one about Jeremiah, but as you get the Pseudepigrapha, it'll give you the background. I don't want to go through all of the background before getting into it. So let me move right into the readings, and you'll have to get your own Pseudepigrapha if you want to get the entire history and background of the Rechabites. I'm going to start the first chapter. There was a certain amazing and virtuous man who, while dwelling in the desert for 40 years, did not eat bread, did not drink wine, and did not see the face of a mortal. His name was Zosimus, and he earnestly was entreating God by night and by day to show him where he had translated the blessed ones, the son of Jonadab. The sons of Jonadab, you can find in the Bible, who were taken away from worldly life in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, and where God had made them to dwell. They were gathered people. This is going to be so exciting. And when the Lord saw the self-humiliation of this blessed one, Zosimus, for the sake of the blessed ones, then God heard his prayer. 40 years. Fasting, praying, asking God to show where he had taken them. God heard his prayer and granted his request. And on one of the days while he was praying, a voice came to him, and an angel came toward him and said to him, Zosimus, O man of God, I have been sent to you from the heights of the heaven to guide you and to show you the way so that you may journey and see these blessed ones as you petition the Most High. However, do not boast in your mind thinking thus, behold, for 40 years, no bread have I eaten and wine have I not drunk, and the faces of men have I not seen. But now only the face of angels now approach. So he's telling him, don't think it's just because you get that. Don't boast in yourself. Let's go to chapter 2. Then I left the cave and traveled with the angel. People, angels aren't mystical beings. We see them every day and just don't know it. They petition, they protect, they guard. They're with you every day. I'm going to keep going. Then I left the cave and traveled with the angel for 40 days. I arrived at a certain place, wearied and fatigued, and I collapsed from my exhaustion. Afterward, I prayed to God for 3 days, and a certain animal came and carried me away and traveled beneath me for many days until it reached the great ocean. And when I saw the great sea, I was amazed at its vastness and wondered what I would do. And immediately, a voice came to me saying, O man of God, never has a man proceeded further or passed beyond me. Merely perceive this and understand. And I looked and saw in the midst of the sea something like a dense bulwark of a cloud suspended upon the sea. And the top of the cloud extended to the height of heaven. And I thought that perhaps the blessed ones were in the midst of it, because I heard a voice from the midst of the cloud which said, Father Zosimus. Then realizing my misconception, I praised and gave thanks to God, to him who makes mute natures to speak, to him who makes everything easy. Chapter 3. And then I prayed to the Lord to deal with me as it pleases his will. And suddenly two luxuriant and very stately trees, larger than any I had ever seen, appeared on the shore of the sea. And then one of the trees bent itself down, and I securely grasped its branches. And it stretched out toward the height of heaven and lifted me up and carried me in its summit until the cloud was beneath me. And also that other tree bent itself down toward it, and the one from here curved its summit and held me out to the one which was from the other side. And descending, it dropped me in the midst of it. And thus, by God's guidance, I passed over the great ocean, and the cloud and I rested in that place for 3 days, while the praise of God did not cease from my mouth. Then I rose and traveled through the land that was in the midst of the sea. It was pleasant and beautiful and filled with luxuriant trees, which were bearing pleasant and fragrant fruits. It was like a large and vast island without a mountain or hill, adorned with flowers and filled with many and delightful pleasures. Chapter 4. While observing the beauty of the land, I approached a little ways and saw a certain naked man who was seated, and I was afraid because of his appearance, but said, Peace to you, my brother. Then he replied and said, Come in. Peace and joy be with you. For I know that you are a man of God, otherwise you would not have been allowed to come here. Chapter 5. And again he asked me, Have you come from the world of vanity? That would be where we live now. Then I said to him, In truth, I come from the world of vanity in order to see all of you. However, tell me, why are you naked? But he said to me, You are he who is naked, and you do not discern that your garment is corrupted, but my own garment is not corrupted. If you wish to see me, however, come gaze toward the height of heaven. And while gazing above, I saw his face to be like the face of an angel, and my eyes were dim from fear, and I fell upon the land. Chapter 6. And then he approached me and grasped me by my hands and raised me up upon my feet. And he said to me, Do not fear, for I am one of the blessed ones whom you have earnestly desired to visit. But come with me, and I shall take you to the holy blessed ones, my brothers. And traveling with me, holding my hands, he asked me concerning the world and all that is in it. And then he brought me to the assembly of the blessed ones. And after watching them, I fell to the land and worshiped them. It was the assembly of the elect ones, comprising both splendid youths and honorable holy ones. And when the blessed ones saw me, they greatly marveled and asked each other simultaneously, My brothers, has the end of the world arrived? And consequently, a man was able to come here? And all of them rose up and prayed and petitioned the Lord to inform them of the reason for my incursion among them. And God heard their prayer and watched, and behold, two angels descended from heaven, stood before the assembly of the blessed ones and said to them, the end has not yet arrived. Do not be afraid by the coming of this man who is among you. He will remain among you for 7 days. Write out for him and inform him about all of God's providence respecting you and that he visits with you. However, that man shall soon go out from you and return to his place rejoicing. And after the angel said these things to them, they ascended back into heaven. God wanted this man to document what he had done for a blessed people he gathered out of the world when Jeremiah was prophesying the doom and destruction of Israel. Brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention. This is getting ready to happen again, but this was for our encouragement and exhortation that the Most High allowed this man to go and see a particular type of people. This is what the world has been hiding from you, this type of revelation, what this relationship with God really means. Chapter 7, let's go further. Then the blessed ones rejoiced and received me in peace. After the angels talked to them, they weren't afraid. And the holy ones, the blessed ones, delivered me to an attendant. And the holy ones said to him, keep him, this our brother, with you for 7 days. And the holy attendant received me and brought me to his tent. And I sat with him under these fair trees. And in his presence I took delight in the delight of his prayers. For that place is like the paradise of God. These blessed ones are like Adam and Eve before they sinned. They fast from the ninth hour until the ninth, and then they eat only what they need from the fruits of these trees. And for water which is sweet and delightful as honey flows from the roots of the trees. And each one drinks what he needs. And immediately they stop eating from the ninth hour on. They live alone. So the sixth hour would be 3 a.m. in the morning. The ninth hour would be 6 a.m. And that ninth hour after that watch. So they were actually, these blessed ones had kind of acclimated themselves, and I'm pausing for a second from the reading, to an intermittent type of fasting and only eating what they needed and not gluttonous. You're going to find how they removed themselves from sin completely to the point where God removed them from destruction and the world and preserves them. When these, I'm going to continue reading chapter 7, verse 4. When these families of these blessed ones heard what was happening on my account, when they were told by their brothers, behold, a certain man has come from the world of vanity. And I love how they say that because this whole world is all about vanity. What I have, how I look, and what I'm going to get, and what I want. Let me continue. Verse 5. They began to be disturbed. And all of their fair families of blessed ones came persistently in order to see this phenomenon, since amazement possessed them because of me. And they incessantly questioned me concerning this world. And I repeatedly told them from the weariness, duration, and pain of the manner of questioning, my soul quivered and I was unable to speak because neither by night nor by day did they leave me alone to rest. And I asked the attendant and said to him, I ask you, O blessed one, do me a kindness. If they come to you and question you concerning me, tell them he is not here, so that I may rest, because my soul is greatly harassed. And that holy attendant, when he heard this request from me, cried out in a loud voice, saying, O my blessed fathers, misfortune is counted to me on this day. Behold, I am almost like Adam in paradise. But he, through the advice of Eve, transgressed the commandment. He's trying to tell him to lie on his behalf. And he said, get this man away from me. He said, and this man, through his evil advice, which he reveals by asking something that would cause me to sin, said to me, lie, and say to your companions that I am not here. Cast out this man from here, so that he shall not implant lies in our place of captivity. I need to pause. He knew that they did not want any lie and sin in their presence of holiness they had created. And he was not going to compromise with this man and say he's not here. Verse 10, and many noble elders and spiritual youths who were like angels of heaven assembled, formed an assembly and said to me, O man of sin, go exit from among us. We do not know how you prepared yourself so that you were able to come among us. Perhaps you wish to deceive us as the evil one deceived our father Adam. However, I, miserable Zosimus, fell upon my face before them and with mournful tears entreated them earnestly and said, have mercy upon me, O blessed ones, and forgive me of my offense, O earthly angels. And after I entreated them earnestly and abundantly, with difficulty, they had mercy upon me. And all of them became very silent. And after a short time, they said to me, tell us, our brother, all of those things which transpired so that you were able to visit us. Be at rest. Don't fear. Then I told them the entire story, in what manner I requested God, show me your place. Then the elders responded to me, and now our beloved, since God has answered you and you have seen us and our place, what do you wish? Then I said to them, I beg you from the blessedness to write for me the history of how your entrance here was possible so that your history may be a good introduction and beautiful example for everyone who wishes to be guided by the fear of God. And that's what we're going to read. Chapter 8. And they took tablets of stone and wrote on them as follows. Pay attention, people. Hear all of you who are in the world of vanity and perceive all the providence which has occurred after this matter. We are called the sons of Rechab. We are from you. And behold, we departed from your world to this place in which we are today. For in that time when Jeremiah the prophet announced and prophesied the ravaging and devastation of Jerusalem because of the sins of the sons of Israel, then behold, shortly thereafter, the destroyer came to ravage and slay them. Then Jeremiah the prophet rent his garments and was clothed in sackcloth and sprinkled dust on his head. And he showed to the common folk the way of goodness and urged them to return to the Lord. Then our father, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, heard how the prophet charged, do not eat bread, do not drink wine, until the Lord hears your prayer. And our father said to us, we must not eat bread, and we must not drink wine, and we must not put on a garment. We must obey his words, the words of Jeremiah. And we said to him, we will do all that you have charged us. And then we removed garments from our bodies and did not eat bread, did not drink wine, and lamented with a great lamentation. And we offered prayers to God, and he accepted our petitions and turned back from his fierce anger. And after King Josiah died, another king ruled after him. And when he assembled together all the people of the Hebrews, some men spoke to him because of us. There is here a family which is from us, but they do not act like us. And they are naked and neither eat bread nor drink wine. Then the king dismissed them and he summoned us. And when we came in before him, the king asked us, who are you and from which family are you? Then we answered him, we are from this, your people, and from the city Jerusalem. And we are sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab. And then Jeremiah the prophet in the days of the king who was before you exhort the common folk to repent. Our father heard the words of the prophet and warned us and charged us not to eat bread, drink wine, be anxious again about our garments or dwell in houses. And God heard his prayer and removed his anger from the city. And we loved him with all our soul and girded ourselves with his kindness. And this his love was pleasing in our eyes, so that in this way we shall be leisurely naked all our days. And the king said to us, you are doing well, but now mix with our people and put your clothes on. Eat some bread, drink some wine, and forsake the Lord. And behold, you will be obedient sons of our kingdom. But we answered the king, we shall never break our promises to God, not to Jeremiah. Let me pause. God does nothing unless he reveals it to his prophets. The prophet told Israel to repent, and only the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that's why they're called the Rechabites, listened to what the prophet had to say. That wouldn't be you literally removing your clothes, but what you need to see is that you see the Rechabites removing themselves from the world, the pleasures of the world, all of its delicacies, its drinking, its wine, and its party, and shutting everything down and trusting God. And when the king comes, like this government is coming, telling you to join us and put this down, you have to stand like the Rechabites. Let me continue to read. We shall never break our promises to God, and we shall not cease from obeying the covenant with him forever. That's right, the commandments. And the king raged against us and charged that all of us be imprisoned in prison. And while we were in prison, we kept vigil by prayer before God. They kept praying even while in prison. Matthew 21 and 24 says many of us will be delivered into prisons during this final tribulation. Verse 5, on the first night, a brilliant light shone upon us. The very first night, a brilliant light shone upon us, and angels of God in glorious form appeared to us, and they led all of us out from prison, all of us, and placed us in the air that is above the land and brought us to this place, which you now see us and allowed us to dwell in it. Does this sound like the wilderness to anyone? That is promised to Israel when it hits the fan. This story has been hidden from you for years. I'll read more. And they let all of us out from prison and placed us in the air that was above the land. Let me skip down. And our virtuous wives, who with us had surrendered themselves to God, they now abide separately among us in the land while remaining as we do in a fast and prayer and praise to God. And after the angels of God brought us and placed us in the place in the midst of the water of this great sea, God commanded, and the waters rose up from the deep abyss and encircled this place. And by command of God, a cloud became a bulwark above the water and rose up as far as heaven. This is also prophesied in the wilderness that we'll be surrounded by fire while he's protecting us, and they'll try to get to us, but it can't. This has already transpired, and there is a place that will not be revealed to man where these people are being kept, and they were supernaturally transported over there. These are people who decided to follow the Most High no matter what. People, I hope you're getting your house in order, ready to say no and to stand on these commandments no matter what happens that's coming in the future. I'm going to go over to chapter 11. And according to his will, God assembled us on this island and did not scatter us upon the whole land. But God placed us on this holy land, and we are without sins and evil and abominable thoughts. And we are mortals. Not immortal yet. We're not angels. They said, and we are mortals. However, we are purified and spotless. Can't be perfect, huh? And our souls and bodies are cleansed from all defilement, and we depend upon the hope of our Lord, and our sight is fixed continuously and unceasingly on the light of the future life. And from prayer to God, we are not silent by night and by day, for this offering of praise is our occupation. It is our job to praise him day and night. That's what we do. Verse 3, and God commanded, and this land brought forth for us pleasant and splendid trees, which are filled with lovely, marvelous, abundant fruits. And again, from the roots of the trees flows sweet and delightful water. And from these fruits and water, we take delight and rest and are sustained. They didn't have to prep. Verse 5. There is not among us vineyards, grain, husbandry, wood, iron, houses, buildings, gold, silver, and neither stormy weather. There's no rain is with us, no snow or ice, and the sun does not shine upon us because the cloud which encircles us like a bulwark, restrains it. And the land in which we are is filled with a glorious light, so darkness and night do not enter it. And we possess a shining appearance and dwell in light. And there are among us men who take wives, and once only the man has intercourse with his wife. And then they are set apart from each other, and they remain in purity for the remainder of their lives. And the memory of the delight of the sex that they have with their wives does not arise in the mind of any of us, but they remain all their days as those who grew up in virginity. But the wife conceives and bears two children. One of them is for marriage, and the other grows up in virginity. And after this manner, we have been commanded by God, and truly after this manner is our custom. So they did not allow themselves to fall into the joys and pleasures that have been presented to us in this vain world of sex by having repeated sex. They did it for the purpose of procreation, and then they forgot the moment, because sex can take you over even in marriage. And we've heard about it. It sometimes leads people into adultery. So I'm not condoning or saying what's going to happen, but the desires. These people chastise themselves and sanctify themselves and in obedience to God. Let's listen to more as we, let's see, we are in chapter 12. But there is among us no one who measures the years. They don't count the years anymore. For the sake of those who daily live in purity and holiness, the years of their life shall increase, but the years of sinners shall decrease. See, they're looking toward the future of the world to come. And as they remain holy and pure, Most High is adding years to their life. These people probably are back to what the way it was with Adam and Eve, living to be 800, 900. We don't know. I'll read that again. For the sake of those who daily live in purity and holiness, the years of their life shall increase, but the years of sinners shall decrease. And no one among us computes months and years, but we are naked, not as you suppose. For we are covered with a covering of glory, and we do not show each other our private parts, the private parts of our body. But we are covered with a soul of glory, similar to that which clothed Adam and Eve before they sinned. We are nourished by the fruits of the trees at the ninth hour, not that the hours are distinguished amongst us, but when the time for our nourishment arrives, the fruits of the trees come among us, although they do not fall by our will, and thus we are nourished from them sufficiently. Sufficient to our needs. And afterward, we drink from the exceedingly good, sweet, and delightful water which comes out to us from the roots of the trees. And then the water returns and is gathered together in its original place. We have knowledge about you people who inhabit the world and how you are. We know the works of the righteous and the works of the wicked. They know what's going on in the world that the Most High removed them from. Because the angels of God come among us continually and inform us concerning your deeds and the length of your lives, our lives, how long we're going to live. The angels tell them about us, brag about us, talk about us because we're their assignment. And these people have become special people that are alive today and hidden. They continually inform us concerning your deeds and the length of your life. We pray for you, petitioning God on your account, because we are also from your race and from the sons of Adam. And God set us apart and chose us according to his will. And he brought and placed us in this place in which we are now. And the angels of God dwell with us. And they announce to us those things which happen among you. And we rejoice at the good deeds which the upright who are among you do. And we grieve over the sinners, commandment breakers, and pagans, religions. who are in the world. And we petition God constantly to restrain his anger concerning you. To us, the holy angels of God announce both the incarnation of the Word of God, who is from the Holy Virgin, the Mother of God, and all those things which he provides and perfects and endures for the sake of the salvation of mortals. And then we worship and acknowledge and glorify him for the sake of the glory of his incarnate life. Then we ask for your love, O people, that you will not be unfaithful when you chance to read this history. Do not surrender to the cruel and merciless ruler, but be shrouded by the secrets which were entrusted to you. And let this history be for you the salvation of your lives. That's why I'm reading this, brothers and sisters. This was hidden because this was written to encourage you and get you to straighten out to live right and see the benefits. Verse 9, have regard to us in your hidden thoughts. Be imitators of our way of life. Listen to this. This gets really good. He said, pursue peace, cherish the love that is unchangeable, love purity and holiness, and you will be made perfect in all good things and inherit the kingdom of God. Chapter 13, we perceive that the holy fast of 40 days of our Lord has begun when the fruit of the trees are withheld and cease developing. And on each of the days of the holy fast, God calls us to rain down upon us from heaven manna, similar to that which he gave to our fathers when he led them out of Egypt. We learn that the holy Passover will arrive when these trees among us flourish and began to produce magnificently sweet and abundant fruits, what this world calls spring. Then we know that the Passover of our Lord has arrived. But on the feast of our Lord's resurrection from the grave, we watch for 3 days and three nights. Then we are filled with gladness and rejoicing, perceiving that the holy feast of the resurrection of the Lord has arrived. And with a spiritual cheerfulness, we rejoice while celebrating with the holy angels. Likewise, also we exalt and sing praises during all of the noble and saving feast of the providence of our Lord, and all the assembly which are above us, and all the heavenly hosts which rejoice with us in these feasts. And again, we announce to you, O brothers, that among us there is no sickness. Living holy. Listen, people. There's no sickness, no pain, no fatigue to our bodies, no mutilation, no weariness, no temptations. Not even Satan's power can touch us, for there is not among us, listen, why? Not among us any rage, any jealousy, evil desires, hateful thoughts, but we experience only quietness and gladness and exhibit love and affection toward God and each other. And the soul of each of us is not weary or sorrowful or wishes to stay behind when the angels of God come to guide it from the body. They're ready to die. But we are glad and rejoice. And the holy angels rejoice with us when they are sent out after the soul of each of us. As the bride rejoices over her betrothed bridegroom, so the soul rejoices at the good news of the holy angels. For they, the angels, say to it, nothing except this alone. O pure soul, your Lord is calling you to come to him. Then the soul with great rejoicing leaves the body to meet the angel. And seeing that pure soul, which has just left the body, all the holy angels unfold for it. And shining their shining souls, and they receive it with joy. Blessed are you, O pure soul, and blessed for you hath thoroughly done the will of God, your Lord. And this is how he brings his providence to each one of us. These people are living holy and pure and waiting for the angels to come get their soul and for them to die. We run into the hospital to get shots, fighting to live, living out of fear. For the sake of the reading, I will not go back, but I hope you caught how they're living and what they don't allow amongst them. chapter 15. The soul discerns and knows the day of its departure. Chapter 15. Your soul discerns and knows the day of its departure. But we're going to deny it. Through a revelation from the holy angels. And we live an extremely long time. And the extent of our life is not brief and short as with you. When the holy angels are sent among us in this beautiful order of which we have informed you, they visit among us. However, first they come to our elders. And when the blessed elders see the angels who have come, they immediately with joy entreat so that all the blessed brothers are assembled. And when all the people have assembled, immediately with praise, we come with the angels to the place in which bodies are buried. And because we have nothing to use for digging in which bodies are buried, and because we have nothing to use for digging, the angels themselves make a sepulcher for the bodies. The angels prepare a place for them to be buried. Give me one second. So let's go back. However, first they come to our elders, and when the blessed elders see the angels who have come, they immediately with joy entreat so that all the blessed brothers assemble. And when all the people have assembled, immediately with praise, we come with the angels to the place in which bodies are buried. And again, when all of these souls have completed their time, then they are separated from our assembly, and each departs with great joy. And all of us with exultation come near to it and offer peace in the kiss of the Lord while it is being conducted and led to the grave by the holy angels. And then the soul of our blessed brother leaves the body in which it had settled, and with joy, far removed from mourning, it approaches and comes to the holy angels and ascends up to God with joy. But we, with one accord, see the soul when it leaves the body clearly and plainly. The appearance of the soul when it leaves the body is the likeness of a glorious light and formed and imprinted in the likeness and type of the body, and it is spiritual flying. I hope you understood that for those of you who are losing loved ones and those that love the Most High and the buried, these people rejoice at the dying process. And they actually saw the soul leave the body. I think it's a beautiful thing if your loved one is able to die at home and we see this process happen because angels are there to receive the soul. I know when my mom passed, there was a dove outside of her home that had never been there or seen or witnessed before. It said this. Let me read this last part. A glorious light and formed and imprinted in the likeness and type of the body. So the light that leaves is in the image of the body that is occupied. That's beautiful. Not just some light and some, you know, any kind of source that you might see in a sci-fi movie. No, the image of that person is the soul, is the essence of that person is the soul, and the body is in the image of the essence. So it leaves in that manner. Formed and imprinted in the likeness and type of the body. And it is spiritually flying. Chapter 16. And while we are looking at that holy and spotless soul, the holy angels carry it away and salute it. And thus it ascends and goes up from us into glory. Pay attention. First comes the death. After the death comes judgment when the soul dies. These are blessed people who lived a staunch, holy, set-apart life. Along with their women, the children, staunch, and they're hidden. We don't know how long they're living, and none of us will get to see them. People think it's a fable. No one can get to them. They're protected, and they await the time. When it says that come to God, you've done his will, it's in reference to doing the commandments and keeping the commandments. Can you overcome a sinful life because we were born in shape and in iniquity and sin because of what Satan did to our father Adam and Eve? But can you kill that man and acclimate yourself to his statutes, laws, and commandments, become holy and pure to where he can say, good job, you did it. You overcame yourself. Let's look at chapter 16. And while we are looking at that holy and spotless soul, the holy angels carried away and saluted, and thus it ascends and goes up from us in glory. And after it ascends with them and passes into the region of the power of the highest heavens, then other orders of angels receive it with joy. Think about your loved ones. And the archangels salute it. And afterward, they stretch out to it their hands and lead it to the thrones and dominions that are above them. And thus it goes up and ascends until it enters before and worships the Lord. We're talking about the righteous. Goes up, worships, judgment happens. Let's keep reading. The order of cherubim and seraphims receive this soul. They rise to the gate of the Holy Trinity. Then the Son of God receives that soul from their hands. Do y'all hear this? This is what's been hidden from you. Well, you, everybody wondering what happens in the afterlife? It's in the pseudepigraphs and the Apocrypha. I continue. I digress. Then the Son of God receives that soul from their hands, the angels, and brings it forward so that it may worship his Father, the Most High God. And when the soul falls down upon its face to worship before God, then the revelation is revealed to us, and all of us fall upon the land and worship the Lord with the soul. And when God makes that soul rise from its worship, we also rise to our feet. And then God sends that soul to a stately mansion, to await the day of resurrection for the rest of our community. Then we also go away from the body of that soul of our brother to our own assembly and complete the service through praises to the Holy Spirit. And so we have engraved upon these tablets and sent them to you through the hands of our brother Zosimus. And again, God, our creator, has given us this privilege. We hear the voices of the spirits and the praises of the angels, the hosts of the heavenly orders, who continually praise God. And when they praise God, so also we in our land praise him. And the angels receive and transmit our prayers and our praises by entering and worshiping in love before that divine and mystic throne, which knows secrets by the aid of the angels and the heavenly hosts, our prayers pass on and find entrance before God. This is all of our manner of life. And we are truly called the blessed ones because we experience the benevolence of God. And we write and send these tablets to you. O people who dwell in the world of vanity, through the hands of this, our brother Zosimus, who entered among us for your sake, through the mercies of God, and remain with us for 7 days. And accompanying him, we travel with him until we came to the shores of the great ocean. And then all of us together knelt down upon the shores of the sea and prayed and petitioned God to be for our brother Zosimus a guide and a refuge. And then immediately, in a moment, a white cloud appeared above the sea, and its top extended to the highest summit. And we praised God, confessing that it is easy for him to do everything. Then suddenly two trees appeared in the middle of the sea, and by a command of God, one of these trees bent down toward me, Zosimus, and it held me securely in its branches and stretched itself out to the height of heaven and carried me and lifted me gently unto the summit and the top of the white cloud. And the second tree bent down toward me. Then that first one now bent its head, and the second tree also bent down toward me, lifted me up, and brought me to dry land. And again I crossed the ocean, the great sea, and that cloud, and I gave thanks unto and praised the merciful God who fulfills the desires of those who fear him and who hears their petitions and saves them. Suddenly that animal arrived and carried me, and it brought me to the cave while I praised and exalted God, who had answered me, heard my petition, and fulfilled my desire to him. Be praise and amen from heavenly earthly beings for all time. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Most High enabled this man to see a people like me and you from Jeremiah's time that he gathered and transported to another land to keep them safe, and they daily interact with the angels and give praise and they have rid themselves of sin. They live for a long time, and they await their time of death. And the Most High allowed this man to see this for 7 days to bring back to us that we might read it. Now you know why they hide these books. That's why he said, study to show yourself approved. Seek me while I may be found. This should spark a light, fusing you to be a better person, more loving, more forgiving, get rid of your rage, get rid of your anger, get rid of your doubt, and just draw closer to the Most High through prayer and praise and back away from everything that you know this world is trying to pull you into. It's lifestyle, it's homosexuality, it's adultery, it's fornication, it's drunkenness, it's getting high. Even the clothing you heard that these people say, we don't want these corrupt garments on us. Now, I know we can't go that far. We have to occupy. But it's good to be mindful, like even on the Sabbath, maybe to put on holy garments in the holy days, to wear your holy garments and to do as much as you possibly can to draw close to the Most High. Dying to your flesh and to this world is so beneficial. So in doing so, they had a blessed life. They didn't get sick. They didn't have pain. So it's true. The source of a lot of our pain, things we go through, is because we're still struggling with things that we have not released in our own personal lives, contention, strife. If God takes people out of your life, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose. These people could be causing you a lot of grief and strife, making you upset, raising your blood pressure. So we're asked to draw close to the Most High. I would encourage you to get a pseudepigraphal and get an apocryphal and just really start reading and studying. It's not so much about these camps. It's about having the Holy Spirit and changing your life every day to become a better person and try to keep the commandments every day. Every day, how can I do better in that area? And I know it's tough. It gets tough for me when we live in a world full of sin where we have actually literal, not only angels walking amongst us, but demons and devils and fallen angels to try and distract us, tempt us, and enrage us. These people are able to do this because they're in a place where they can keep these commandments by themselves. 2 Esther 13 tells us that the northern tribe asked God to take them out of Syria and into a land, Arsuris, where they could keep these commandments and be at peace. So that would be your North American, Taino, Indians, who they call Puerto Ricans. We were doing that until we got invaded. They were found. These people will not be found. So these commandments bring life. You live long, health, wealth, and you have an expected end. So come up out of Christianity that preaches grace and tells you to constantly live in a rotation and cycle of sin and then just repent. No, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Start getting rid of certain sins. Get yourself prepared. I don't know what the future holds, but I know what the Bible says the future holds. And we're going to be expected to be like Daniel, the Rechabites, Jonadab from Jeremiah. We're going to have to say, no, we're not going to eat your bread. We're not going to drink your wine. We're not going to eat your meat. We're not going to do what you do. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to take your shot. All right, I'm going to be the preacher. That's been my time. I hope you enjoyed that reading. I know it has really encouraged me as it pertains to those who live godly, what happens to them. The book of Ezra said they're in the chamber at in peace. This book says they're in a mansion just awaiting for the end of this world and for the resurrection so that they'll come back to this new a new earth, a brand new purified earth where we'll live forever. The millennial reign, don't have to go through the second resurrection. They're going to rise when Christ returns to this earth. Those people in those mansions, they're going to have to come back with him, the dead in Christ, and rise. And we which are alive and remaining will be caught up with them. And now we see this caught up as more than you could ever imagine. God controls the animals, the angels, the wings, the trees. The trees are alive. They will all be working together to save Israel in the last day. But you must live holy. All right, that's been my time. Remember, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Peace and blessings to the 12 tribes worldwide.